Ball State falls to Vanderbilt this past weekend despite a valiant effort, but now they are in the thick of action as they take on Northern Illinois at home this coming weekend. We've got interviews, highlights, analysis, and more. This is Linking the Chains.
Third and goal, looks toward Magwood. Nobody's open. Savanza scampers. He has open daylight, jumps toward the end zone, barrels in, and he is in.
Savanza looking left towards the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown. Tanner Koziel.
Caught by Gilly. Breaks one tackle, breaks a second. Malcolm Gilly's off to the races. Malcolm Gilly scores.
Hello, and thanks for joining me on Linking the Chains. I'm your host, Isaiah Rosner. In a bit, I'll be joined by Dane Massey, our analyst for this week, and then later on, we will be talking with AJ Switek. He's going to be announcing the Ball State game this coming weekend against Northern Illinois on SportsLink Digital Radio, so it'll be great to hear from those two. But first of all, let's go ahead and get into the recap of that Vanderbilt game for Ball State. We do have highlights for you, and we have radio calls for you this week with both Mick Tidrow on Learfield as well as Dominic Liacani on SL Digital. Let's get right into that.
First and goal from the Vanderbilt 9-yard line with 8:13 to play here in the first quarter. Still no score underway from Vanderbilt. Kelly takes the snap, will run it past the 10, breaks one tackle, then another past the 5 to Pater. Touchdown, Kyle Kelly. Ball State strikes first on the first drive of the evening.
Vanderbilt answers with a 6.5-minute drive of their own, but settles for a field goal. The Cardinals punt, and on the next Commodore drive, Pavia shows off his talent.
Pavia with a man to his left hip. Rolls out left, 2nd and 12, under pressure, throws high and across his body, but it's complete way downfield. Past the 10-yard line, there goes Junior Sherrill. Right at the 6. First and goal on a massive completion for Diego Pavia and company.
Another field goal sees Ball State on top, 7-6 early third quarter. The Cardinals punt 2 straight times, and check out these two beauties from Brian Cooey Jr.
At the Ball State 44, Brian Cooey on for his 2nd punt of the night.
Oh, no.
This one is a wobbler that hits the Vanderbilt 27, but takes a Ball State bounce, and this is going to end up working out in Ball State's favor. It rolls to the 4-yard line. Sam Feeney's doing the golf swing to try and get it down to the 5, and it rolls into the 3-yard line. It ends up being a 53-yard punt.
Cooey had a 54-yard punt that went to the 3-yard line last time. This one is way up in the air. Can Ball State get there in time? Did Feeney get a piece of it? Then it's deflected out by Norwood. Oh, what a play! Ball State once again pins Vanderbilt inside the 5-yard line at the 3. Brian Cooey Jr. with the boot, and the special teams unit for Ball State doing its job once again. What a phenomenal performance so far, and if you're head coach Mike New, you have to be loving it.
Late first half, Cardinals still up by 1 until Eli Stowers makes his mark on this game.
Pavia sends in motion, man in motion from left to right, play action. He'll dump it off on the near side for Stowers. He's past the 30, gets a block at the 20, to the 10, towards the left pylon. Touchdown, Vanderbilt. That is exactly what the Commodores needed late here in the first half.
A successful 2-point conversion puts Vandy up by 7 at halftime. The Cardinals come out of the break hot as their first drive includes a flea flicker, a 4th down conversion, and ends up in the hands of Koziel.
At the 7-yard line of Vanderbilt, Semanza takes the snap, fakes the handoff, throws it to the end zone. Koziel catches, races in for a Ball State touchdown. The Cardinals are an extra point away from tying this up in Nashville. It's Tanner Koziel with the touchdown from Caden Semanza, the 4th receiving touchdown for Koziel this season.
The game is tied up again, but unfortunately for the Cards, that is their last score of the day. Vanderbilt scores a field goal and a touchdown to win it 24-14. Well, that will do it for our game recap. When we come back, Dane Massey will join me to discuss this result. But first, here's a little segment from Mike News Media Availability this past week.
Even if you are coming off a loss, do you feel like the defense in particular is finally starting to find its confidence and its stride?
No question about it. Most complete game for us the other night. When you talk about four quarters, and again, I thought we're certainly getting better. It all starts with being able to stop the run and be good against the run. And I've seen significant improvement for our guys against the run. But the other night, when you talk about putting four quarters of football together, that was really our best performance of the year. Now, is there things we need to clean up? Yes. But there was adversity that hit. We didn't blink. We battled back from that. We got down into the red zone. Maybe they put a drive together, got down in the red zone, and then we forced them to go backwards, held them to field goal attempts. Those are all positives. And then, you know, obviously battling and fighting. And, you know, when you come out of halftime, are you going to have the same football being played as you were in the first half? And so for the defense to come out and set the tone in the second half there with a three and out and then turn that into a nice drive where we scored a touchdown as well, I thought that was equally as important. So the start of the half, both the first half, at the beginning of the game, and then in the second half, I thought those were key moments for us that were certainly things to build on and were very positive. But without question, I thought defensively the performance from beginning to end, most complete so far.
Yeah, I know that NIU, you know, has struggled a little bit in MAC play, but they've obviously got that big win against Notre Dame earlier this year. What about them makes them a team that really can compete with anybody, even if it is those outside the MAC?
Yeah, first of all, they're going to want to run the football. They've always got a, you know, every year we played Northern, they've always had a two-headed monster running back plus a quarterback that can also run the football, and it's no different this year that way. They're playing as good a defense as anybody is in the MAC right now. They've been very consistent, sitting at the top in a lot of different categories that way. So you're going to get a team that has great discipline, is physical, is going to want to run the football and playing great defense. Those are great qualities when you talk about, you know, team football, and it, no matter where you're playing at. So it starts with that. And we know it's going to be a challenge. You know, they're coming off a home game there where it was a dogfight and a battle with Toledo that was a one-possession game. But they're coming to our place, and, you know, each team's going to be focused on the same things. And so, yes, they had a great, you know, win for them against Notre Dame, but I think it's also credit, too, to our conference that there's good football on any given week, man. You got to make sure you're at your best in this conference because it's a great conference from top to bottom.
Welcome back to Linking the Chains. Right now I'm joined by Dane Massey, our analyst for this week. Dane, thank you for joining me. And first question, or I guess just first kind of thing to respond to, Ball State, man, holding their own against Vanderbilt, not getting the win, but how about that performance by the team all around?
I think it surprised me, it really surprised me because I think a lot of people looked at this matchup against Vanderbilt and Ball State and said, oh, Vanderbilt's going to take this one by a mile. And Ball State came to play. And this was a surprising matchup because this was a matchup where Vanderbilt was supposed to blow them out of the water. And Ball State really just decided to come to play. They held their own. And defensively, they looked really good up until that fourth quarter. And they kept it really close with Vanderbilt. This was a team that was clicking on all cylinders. And it was sort of a refreshing thing to see because ever since that Kent State game, I feel like I've been watching basically a whole new team because this team seems more focused. They seem more dialed in, and it really resulted in a very close loss and a very unexpected close loss against Vanderbilt.
Oh, I completely agree, and I think, like you said, both the offense and the defense overperformed, but my favorite thing was the defensive stats. I almost couldn't believe my eyes when I was looking at the stats afterward, and it makes sense based on what happened, but it was just hard to perceive that this was the fewest yards Ball State allowed in a game in the FBS. So the only one that was fewer was against Missouri State, that opening game in week two for Ball State. But man, just allowing 420 total yards, gaining 268 themselves, not a major deficit. So that defense, what do you think changed for them that made them so much better?
I think it's just they finally decided to find their identity through these last couple of weeks. I mean, you get a win against Kent State, that's a confidence booster. And then you go in against Vanderbilt and you play as well as you do, and that's another confidence booster coming into this week against NIU. So I think through these first couple of weeks, they have a new DC. They're trying to find their identity. And I feel like ever since they got that Kent State game, they found their identity and they're riding with it. And you saw that against Vanderbilt. I mean, holding them, being a tie game going into the fourth quarter, only giving up 10 points in that fourth quarter. And it's been more of a refreshing thing to see this defense finally come alive, finally have some expectations for them going into the rest of the season. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do for the rest of the season, especially with the week coming into NIU.
Another thing that stands out is the time of possession battle. We mentioned it last week. Well, you weren't here, Dane, but we mentioned it on this show last week. And so Ball State, one of the top teams in time of possession. So is Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt did win that battle with 34 minutes and 35 seconds to 25-25. But at the same time, I feel like both teams really were able to have some long possessions. I mean, I think they really shortened the game. The total game was just under, it was just under 2 hours, 56 minutes, which, especially for a college football game, which are longer than NFL games, you have an average of about 3.5 hours for those games. So that's insane to get it under that 3 hour mark. Also, just 7 drives total in the second half. So just some long drives by both teams. And it was a very interesting game in general in that aspect. But another matchup that was arguably even more fun to watch was the tight end matchup, Stowers versus Tanner Koziel of Ball State, and that really lived up to the hype. Stowers had the better stats, but both of them had a great performance, didn't they?
Oh, certainly. And I'll go back to your first point about time of possession. Time of possession, I think, for Ball State was very crucial in this matchup, because any time Ball State knew the opponent, they knew that they were going into a hostile environment in Nashville, and they knew they had to possess the ball as long as they can to keep their defense off the field. And they really executed that extremely well. And even when the defense was on the field, you mentioned it before, the fewest points allowed since the Missouri State game. And again, a massive confidence booster. Continue to go forward. They got to continue to press on these possessions. But I'll get to your point about the tight end matchup. I mean, Tanner, what a season Tanner Koziel is having. He's, I believe, third in FBS in total passing yards, which is insane to think about. And just below him is the Vanderbilt guy. And when you look at a matchup like this, these two guys are leading the teams in receiving yards. And when you have a high profile guys like that, you're expecting nothing but fireworks. That's exactly what we got in Nashville. And I feel like it's nice to see Tanner sort of blossom into one of the top tight ends in all of college football, but also exceed a guy like exceed guys that are from Vanderbilt, from these high powered schools. And it gives sort of a preference, a presence for this offense in terms of that they have some high-powered guys that can do some damage, and it really showed against Vanderbilt.
Eli Stowers finished with 8 receptions for 130 yards and a score. Notably, no other player in Vanderbilt had more than 2 receptions or 43 yards on the game, so they really spread the ball out besides Stowers. For Ball State, Tanner Koziel, 9 receptions, 68 yards, and a touchdown as well. So great performances for both of them, as we mentioned. And then I feel like we do need to talk a little bit about the Ball State passing offense, because the rushing offense was fine, but the passing offense, I feel like, really found its rhythm. 190 yards for Semanza, got a touchdown to Koziel, of course, and no interceptions. I think it was 2 sacks. And so offensively, I'm hoping this is the new normal. This is the first time I've really felt like super excited for the future of MAC play for Ball State.
I've felt really excited about Ball State's offense since the first week of the season, because this is a high-powered offense. And seeing them grow week to week to week, you just see Simons getting better and better and better. You see Braden Sloan, the running back, getting better and better and better. The receiving core starting to get clicked, and they're getting more yards after reception. I mean, every single time they could throw a 5-yard pass, and you could see him dash for 80 yards. I mean, that's how good this receiving core really is when they get the ball in their hands. But this offense has just been getting better and better and better every week. And this passing offense just has, from day one, has just been a very special thing to see. I mean, these receivers are going up and making some of the most spectacular catches I've ever seen. And the talent Ball State has in this passing attack is probably one of the better ones in the MAC, despite what the record says. But this offense is going to just keep getting better and better and better. And you saw it you saw some flaws against Vanderbilt, but that really doesn't mean anything to me. Everything that really matters to me is within conference play, within the next couple of games that are coming up. And it's been a sort of refreshing thing to see that Ball State still has, under Mike New, this high-powered offense that has been really consistent over the last couple of years.
How about how clean of a game it was, too? I mean, looking stat-wise, obviously no turnovers for either team. That's a huge one. Another thing that I think my first watch through, I didn't really realize until I was watching it through again, and that's, yeah, there were no turnovers, a lot of long possessions, no fumbles, at least none that were, I don't think there were any fumbles, definitely none recovered by the defense, and no interceptions for either player. So it was a really clean game. Of course, we would have loved to see the defense get a takeaway, but how do you think that gives a lot of confidence to the offense?
No, yeah, for sure. I think that any offense, especially when you're going against high-powered opponents, you want to have it as much of a clean game as you can. And Ball State had probably the cleanest game I've ever seen them play. I've ever seen them have against a high leverage opponent like Vanderbilt. I mean, you said it yourself, no penalties, no turnovers. Mike New's got to be really, really happy with his squad not to give up silly penalties and give up turnovers, because a turnover could have decided the game against Vanderbilt. I'll be pretty much dead honest. It could have made a 10-point loss difference, or a turnover could have made it probably a 24-point loss. And that just goes to show what turnovers do in college football. Same with penalties. Penalties kill you in college football. You can also, again, the point differential will be vastly different if the penalties are not in your favor. And I'm just happy I saw Ball State play as clean of a game as they did. And I guess it goes to show that Ball State can play a clean game, but they still got to get a win out of that. And the clean game to start. The clean game is the first step. And if Mike New's got to be really happy with his team playing a clean game as they did. And they're going to use that. They're going to try to fix the little things. They're going to try to get better, and they're going to move on to the next week. It's just a one week at a time sort of basis for Ball State.
Well, I'm in total agreement. We've seen the explosiveness. Now we're seeing the cleanliness. If they can combine that together, it could be a scary offense for the rest of the MAC. Four penalties total in that game, two for each team. Each team with just a total of 10 yards on those penalties. So just 2 5-yard penalties for each team. So a very clean game, as we had mentioned before. Well, Ball State falls 24-14 to the Vanderbilt Commodores. When we come back, we will be joined by AJ Switek. He's going to be doing color commentary for the SL Digital broadcast of football this coming weekend, and we'll preview that game against Northern Illinois. This is Linking the Chains.
I mean, our defense has stepped up a lot these past 2 weeks, and, you know, we've seen what we're capable of, you know, playing last week against a pretty good opponent. So we just got to keep stacking games like that and carry that into these last five games against conference opponents for sure.
Has there been, like, any particular person or thing that happened that has really sparked this consistency and confidence?
I don't think there's been anything too specific. I think it's just a matter of, you know, we've had a lot of young guys and guys with injuries coming in. So, I mean, it's halfway through the season now. You know, we've got guys gelling more than they have before, like, all season. We're just starting to figure it out and really seeing what we're capable of. And as long as we keep stacking that and just going out there giving our best stuff, like, every day, every rep that we get during the games, I think that we'll keep seeing these results on defense that we have so far.
And obviously, you know, you've played in this conference for a while. Does it feel different when you get a MAC win versus a non-conference win?
For sure. I mean, the MAC wins are the ones that count, and they're going to get us to the big game at the end of the day. So those MAC games are definitely, you know, a little more attention paid to those, and just, like, it feels a lot better when we get those wins. We know those are the guys that we're competing with to try to go get that championship at the end of the season. So I think I would say, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And you've been on these teams that have beaten Northern Illinois before. Given the fact that it is a trophy game, do those mean even a little bit more?
Yeah, the trophy games, I mean, it's always an awesome atmosphere just all around Muncie, and then especially here in the football facility in the locker room. We can go put that trophy out there in the lobby after the win and just, you know, take that in all week. It's a great feeling getting the trophies after any of those rivalry games. So.
Welcome back to Linking the Chains. Now for this third and final segment, we are joined by AJ Switek, one of the announcers for Ball State SportsLink Digital Radio. AJ, you'll be on the call this weekend for Ball State against Northern Illinois. This is, I think, your third game now on the radio for a football game. So what has that experience been like for you in the past?
Yeah, it's honestly been a really special experience, right? I think that it's easy to look and see how SportsLink is a student-led and student-run program, but that really expands beyond just the broadcast. It's really cool to be able to be a part of a crew with people who you genuinely view as your friends. Like this upcoming weekend, it's myself, Griffin Leonard, Ryan Stojitz, Braden Carroll. The chemistry already kind of is flowing there, and then on top of that, it's a big-time matchup. NIU already has knocked off the Fighting Irish this year. That's a big-time win for any MAC school, but they've looked really competitive, so it's been a really fun ride with a good background, and I think that this shouldn't be any different on Saturday.
And then tell us a little bit about, like, your preparation. What does your prep look like for this?
Well, for this game specifically, I haven't had the amount of time I'd like to prepare because myself, Ryan, and Max were on the call for Ball State field hockey on ESPN. So I'm just getting into the preliminary process of preparation. But for me, it's really simple. You can say you don't like how I sound, how I look, whatever that is, but you need to be fully prepared. That's the one thing that you never want the audience to be at home thinking, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. So really three deep, the entire roster will be prepared with pronunciations, numbers, positions, year in school, and then any cool notes or storylines we can tell to help humanize the athlete.
Well, you mentioned three deep, and one way that could be a major factor is the injury at quarterback for Northern Illinois. You got Ethan Hampton hurt right now, not sure of his status for this Saturday. So how do you go about preparing for two different quarterbacks?
Well, as I mentioned, right, you're always preparing for backups, but you're right, this is a little bit more of a unique situation with a little bit of uncertainty, a pre-existing injury, but I like what I've seen from Chance Macon. The backup quarterback for the Huskies is a guy who spent time at Arkansas Pine Bluff, and really in the biggest game of his career against Oklahoma State in a national network level audience, this is a guy who looked like one of the better players on the field. Redshirt junior will bring a lot to a rushing attack that already is NIU's strong suit. In my eyes, I feel like this is a good problem to have. Northern Illinois has a couple of quarterbacks on this roster who are more than capable of both leading this offense and really just making an impact down the stretch in Mid-American Conference play. I don't view this to be any different. Chance Macon, a player who I think would be ready for the task, and the locker room seems to like him too. So I think regardless of where that injury goes, NIU has to like where they're at with their quarterback room.
All right, well, last question for you here, AJ, and then we'll let Dane talk once again. But so when you're calling a game like this, what do you get out of it that maybe a spectator wouldn't, or that you wouldn't get out of it when you're watching a game normally?
Well, the obvious answer is you're just watching it very intentfully because you are giving closed caption for every play that you're seeing on the field. So obviously, watching it from more of a critical analysis standpoint as opposed to just watching it passively. But really, then in a physical standpoint, it's a cool viewpoint, especially at Schumann Stadium. You're all the way up in the press box. You get to see plays develop. I'm doing color analyst work this upcoming Saturday, and it's really nice because you can see the motions and you can see who's open when and where the quarterback is looking. So just from a sheer where we sit standpoint, that's also pretty cool.
All right, well, Dane, I'll go to you now, but of course, AJ, feel free to chime in as well. So for this upcoming game, of course, against Northern Illinois at home for Ball State this Saturday at 3:30, they're a major rushing team, one of the teams that has more rushing yards by quite the margin than they do passing yards. And I mean, Ball State had a major improvement, like we mentioned earlier, against Vanderbilt, getting that holding them to just 3.9 yards per carry. So how do they attack this rushing attack for Northern Illinois and keep them in check?
Well, this was a week where a lot of people expectations were on Vanderbilt instead of Ball State, and Ball State exceeded the expectations and bringing it to Vanderbilt. And this is a defense that I saw that has been getting better and better and better during practice ever since Kent State. I mean, in the beginning of the year, they were a bottom tier defense in not only in the MAC, but in FBS. And they have certainly turned it up to another level with these past two games. And it just gets better for them against NIU because this is a rivalry game. There's a lot on the line. NIU has had a lot of hype around them, and so has Vanderbilt, especially after that win against Alabama. This time we get to see them against another hype train in Northern Illinois who came off that big win against Notre Dame. And Ball State's got to play spoiler again. That's got to be the mindset. And it's going to be fun to watch this defense just continue to get better and better and better this Saturday.
All right, and then something we talked about last week as well, time of possession has been a big story for Ball State recently. I mean, they're one of the top teams, not as high anymore as they were before this past week. They're now 27th in the FBS, but still, that's a very good mark. But Vandy now number 11, and then you have Northern Illinois up to third in the FBS. So how much of a factor could that be, and do you think that could decide this game, Dane?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to decide this game 100% because Northern Illinois' defense is a lethal defense in the MAC. I mean, they're a very special group. They're going to get after Caden Simonza early, but this offensive line has got to step up. This is going to be a game where they're going against one of the top defenses in the MAC, and when defenses, especially in rivalry games, they're going to have a massive witch hunt on Caden Simonza, so they got to be on their A game. But the time possession is definitely crucial for sure. You want to possess the ball as long as you possibly can, because we want to keep your defense off the field. You don't want to get them too winded. Also, you want to kind of have some confidence going against this Northern Illinois defense for both sides of the margin. Ball State's defense is certainly hot, and they're riding a hot hand right now. They're starting to climb up. They're starting to get momentum. So time possession in this game is absolutely crucial. And I think whoever controls the time possession, whoever's offense starts to click the most, is really going to be the deciding factor in this rivalry game for sure.
And I will warn that the time of possession stat here is a little bit deceiving. I know that you mentioned both defenses looking better, but at the college level with so many teams, often time of possession is determined by what team has the worst defense because your offense is on the field so often. Ball State's time of possession has not necessarily been because this has been an offensive juggernaut. It's more so been on the road playing higher caliber teams like Miami. The offense seemed to always be out there because the defense couldn't stay on the field. So that makes it harder for both sides of the ball because all of a sudden the offense is drained and the defense feels, you know, they're coming out with a chip on their shoulder and have to make an impact on the game. We've seen a lot of 50-50 balls head outside of the direction of the MAC rather than in favor of NIU and Ball State. So I know both defenses have a lot to grow off of in their recent triumphs, and obviously NIU, you're just going to continue to point to that Notre Dame match probably for years to come and for good reason. But in my eyes, I expect this to be closer to a shootout than a defensive battle on Saturday, guys.
I definitely see your point, AJ. I do want to mention, though, that you said, of course, that it can be based on the lack of off, or lack of defense rather for a team to have solid time of possession, but Ball State has been good at keeping possession as well. I mean, they're still a possession team, I feel like, and we saw that against Vanderbilt. That first drive, such a long drive, I think the second half, seven total drives, and that was a combination of Vandy being great at that as well. So of course, with the defense improving, maybe we'll see that continue to drop, but at the same time, they can definitely hold on to the ball quite a bit. So last question, I'll turn to you, Dane. Northern Illinois, number 11 in sacks defensively in the FBS. They have some great stats for them. Looking at Ball State, we've talked about it many times, they're really experienced, very solid offensive line. I'm starting to think maybe the offensive versus defensive line battle could dictate who wins this game. Thoughts on that?
And this is you mentioned it. It's an experienced offensive line against a very stacked defensive line in Northern Illinois. And you said it yourself, this is going to be the decider. And this offensive line, this is probably the toughest test that they have all season. They played Miami and Vanderbilt, but when a game like this truly matters and it comes down to MAC play and there's a lot on the line with this game, this is going to be a battle in the trenches. This O-line's got to come ready to play, and they're going to have themselves fired up because, like I say, in rivalry games, anything can happen. But this Ball State offense is going to show up. This D-line's going to show up, and it's going to be a spectacle to see who really comes down in the trenches. But expect this Ball State offensive line to come to play. I mean, this entire Ball State team, they've seemed really riled up at practice, and it's going to be really fun to see them go out there and put a beating on NIU.
In conference play across the country, right, this is when you turn to the trenches. I feel both these teams are built from the front back, both on offense and defense, and it really is going to be a point of emphasis. You have to set the tone, and you want to be winning the line of scrimmage on every given snap, especially in such a big conference matchup that feels like more of a pivotal game for Ball State than it does for NIU. This is a team at home that has more riding on it, and Isaiah, just to counter the point you said earlier, I wasn't looking to discredit Ball State's offense. They've certainly been the much stronger unit of the two this season. So some of that time of possession, yes, comes from them being on the field, but I think we need to see more from the rushing attack, and that starts up front this weekend.
Completely fair, especially a weaker rushing game for Ball State. That was one of the weak points in that Vandy game. Well, that will just about do it for this episode. Ball State will play Northern Illinois at home at 3:30 on Saturday. He's AJ Switek. He's Dane Massey. I'm Isaiah Rosner. Cade Johnson is our on-site technician, and Matt Gilley is our cameraman for today. Thank you for watching or listening to Linking the Chains.
2 seconds and one, and Ball State will walk home victorious.
Linking the Chains is hosted and produced weekly by Isaiah Rosner. This has been a production of Ball State Sports Link.